Same China, different stories.
We are the ones that found our way.
Welcome to ABC Adapi's Born in China podcast. I'm Tara, and I am here with Lexi, who you actually wrote a very lovely email that was, it was wonderful to read. I was like, wow, this is amazing when like people write and they like put so much detail. I was like, oh, I'll let Lexi talk about podcast stuff if you'd like. And also, oh, wow, your cat is behind you and has like a little mark on the nose. It's really cute.
Yeah, he's great. I love him.
Adorable. Okay. We were talking about orange tabby cats before, so it's an orange tabby cat. But hello, Lexi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. I always like to start by asking more about, well, you shared a lot about your adoption when you wrote to me, and this was before I left for travels. So, but if you could give a refresher and also just share more about your adoption, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Thank you for creating this space. So just to give you a little background, I was born March 15th, 1999. 2 months later, I have like different pieces of the puzzle, but they're not in sequential order. So I tried to put them in sequential order last night. In May of 1999, I was found under a viaduct in Yangon County. I'm really bad at pronouncing anything that's not English. And then at 6 months old, I have a photograph of me taken at a place. I don't know if it's an orphanage or if it's my first orphanage, but I have a photograph. And then 2 months later, I have another photograph of that orphanage shutting down and them taking me another picture of me. So then like a month later, I have another photograph of me at a new place. So it seems like I moved a lot, like around a lot, like I got shuffled.
Yeah.
I have a picture of me at 1 year old and then 2 years old. So I was actually adopted at 2 years and 9 months old.
Oh, so you're almost three.
Yeah, I was almost three. A lot of like what I have is just bits and pieces. So it's kind of challenging to figure it out, but I went through my stuff last night and I have like this little paper that they left me.
Oh, yeah.
Say that like that I was found by the police, the local police station of Shangzhou Shuli Yangon Public Service on May 2nd, 1999. So that leads me to believe that I was with my birth parents for about 2 months and then I was given up. And then I have a few photos of of myself at like maybe the milestone ages and that I was kind of all over the place at different orphanages. And
I see.
My mom, my adopted mom, wrote down that I might have had foster parents for a little bit, but she's unsure of where that was too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I have heard that fostering actually was pretty common. I'm not sure how it worked exactly because of the whole like one child policy stuff. So I was like,
yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know how fostering worked, but talking to a lot more adoptees, it's like, yeah, I had foster parents. It's like, I didn't know that was like an option, especially considering everything going on. But that's a little bit of the naivete on my part. So, like, I guess that does make sense. It's everywhere else.
Yeah. I think it's like when we think of foster care, we think about like the American system of foster care. But I think
very true.
When I was doing like research and trying to put the pieces together, it sounds like it's just a smaller orphanage. So it seems like it's just an orphanage with less children. And like some of the quote unquote lucky kids got to go there. I know that I was like failure to thrive. And the one photo, I'm really, really fat. But then like the second photo I have, it looks like I'm doing physically not well. So I think, yeah, like I just got lucky and they sent me to a smaller orphanage, quote unquote, foster care.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I have no idea the specifics of how these things work.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Were you adopted by, you said your mom, was it also like mom and someone else or was it just your mom?
So I'm adopted by my mom, my dad, and I have a brother too. So my whole family is white. My brother is also adopted too. My Mom and dad were older, so currently they're like 72, like they're
Okay.
boomers.
Yeah, mine too.
Oh, okay. I think that's also like a pattern. I found that adoptive parents tend to be older. I mean, the process was such a long wait too,
Oh
but
yeah. And then we both were also older too, which I think that plays into
yes.
like having older parents too, like them
Yes.
adopting not newborns, basically,
Yeah,
I
it's
think.
very interesting. My dad actually passed away. My adoptive dad actually passed away during like the pandemic, like a month before the pandemic, everything shut down. So like 2020, he
What?
passed away. And my mom and I have a complicated relationship. Yeah, I think her intentions are there, but
Yeah.
she's diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, so our
Oh.
relationship kind of went through the test of time, and I had to learn to put boundaries in place and to really take care of myself before I had to have a relationship with her.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of complex layers for you and probably for your mom too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And your brother's younger than you, or?
So he's actually 8.5 years older than me. He was
Oh, okay.
adopted in the United States in Pittsburgh. Second day of being born in the hospital, my parents went and got him. We are also supposed my family was also gonna adopt another little boy from Russia, and he would have been the middle child, but that fell through. I don't know really what happened on that end. I think some contentions with like that boy's sibling, the Russian boy's sibling, fell through. So,
Oh, so
yeah.
like low key, This Is Us has some similar. We were talking about this before we started recording. It was like, oh, so like This Is Us apparently takes place in Pittsburgh, and low key, I guess you were like living that just a little bit. Not the exact same
Yes.
story, obviously, but similarities. Transracial adoption is a thing.
I find like with adoption, it can be complicated because I was talking about this with some other people. Like, it's the collective trauma. I don't think we as a society has always seen it that way in the past. I think it has both light and dark in it. Like, it is a trauma. And then you add the layer on top of it of feeling whitewashed or some of your culture is being kind of stripped away, like even changing your name to an American name. And I think that's what I like about platforms. Very interesting to see like the reality of adoption because while it is meaningful and I am grateful to be here, I think sometimes adoptees get fed this narrative of like you should only ever be grateful. And then we never hold the space for any of our other feelings, or at least I didn't. I
No,
only
I
ever
agree.
felt guilty. I only ever felt empathetic for everyone else except myself because I mean, it was hard. Like everyone else in China is in survivor mode. They have little resources. It must have been so hard to have been forced to give up your kids and to feel like you want your kids to have a better life. And then the other people that are adopting us, like wanting their own kids and like their story. So I definitely take all of that into account. But
It's like it's a complex narrative that I think when we are younger, we don't know exactly how to voice exactly, or there weren't as many conversations about it, versus where it seems now, it's like there are more conversations and there are more resources. So it's it seems like it's not as like traumatic or like overwhelming at times as it was before.
I think it's that collective healing. Like, it's this. I feel like, in general, you can see patterns of like collective trauma, what they call like generational trauma. But I think as a society, we're like moving more towards like healing and like being emotionally aware and like accepting some of the stigmas that were stigmas, like mental health matters and like talking about this, creating spaces for anyone's experience, really, just the human experience.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I do think, like, I mean, that is my one reference that I have of a recent one, because just Pittsburgh, but it was like This Is Us, even like the writing of that show, which has won a lot of awards, does touch on like transracial adoption, and there are like other things coming out that do more acknowledgement of like the process and the mental aspect of it.
Yeah, so that's also like what I am going into now, is the mental health field. I'm a social worker, and ultimately I would love to, and I feel like adoptees, like whether we realize it or not, subconsciously, we all are doing something with our adoption story, which I think is amazing. And it took me a long time to get to that place, and I'm still learning, like what we call in the mental health space, like a radical acceptance of like accepting your story as is. And I think that's cool, like everyone finding their creative outlets and niches of like
Oh, definitely.
podcasting or writing a book. Or I know you had a guest on that did like yoga for adoptees. I was like, this is so cool. We're all so creative.
I love that too. And it's like all of us reaching, because even speaking with Leanne, who does yoga for adoptees, she's like, I didn't really get to this until like recently, and I'm 33 now. And I was
Yes.
like, I mean, yeah, it's like different for everybody. I think, I mean, I didn't start this until, it's been 4 years now, so late 20s, I guess. So I was like,
Yes, I'm 25 and I'm
It's like
just now
that's
starting
exactly
to
where I started.
realize
Yep.
it.
And that's where I started too.
I think it's just like, for me, I'm spiritual, so like take this with what you will, but just like everyone as a society, I think the people are higher conscious is starting to wake up and be like, okay, like we're just not turning a blind eye. We're learning how to like accept all of these parts that make us human. And I don't know, I like that. And doing the work on ourselves. I'm still learning to
Oh my
do that.
gosh. I feel like
It's a lifelong thing.
it's a lifelong thing. And it was like, I know we were talking about this before too, and I've definitely talked about a little bit or shared about it, but it's like the other traumas and things that happen in life. It's like I actively have been like, free your mind of it, like know what you know now, like keep going forward, like just think about the future. I also was watching like Avatar: The Last Airbender, and there
Oh
was
my
like this
gosh, I
whole
love
thing,
that.
like the new one. I was like, oh, the whole thing of like, they actually keep repeating this theme of like, you can't be focusing on the past, like societally or like individually. And I was like, this seems so applicable to adoption. I mean, it's applicable to everything, but of course, I frame it in adoption as like, yeah, we can't as a society keep like focusing on what happened in the previous time. But now, like, I think even related to like the process of like DNA and searching has become more advanced or like a little bit more open in China itself. So like more and more people are finding their like matches than like 7 or 8 years ago, where it seemed like it was impossible to like figure out how to like even go about finding a match or like what to do. So like,
It's just kind of crazy. Like, I know for me, the like going back to the idea of like radical acceptance, it's like I kept trying to go around it or avoid it. And for me, it's like the only way to do the things I want to do and move forward is to go through. So like
Oh,
for
100%.
me, it looks like unlocking those emotions and not just trying to like empathize with everyone else and like creating space for me to hold the emotions that might not make sense logically and feeling those feelings, accepting what happened, accepting that I am Chinese, that I don't have all of my pieces of my story, that I was shipped around a lot and feeling that and then moving through it. That's how I think I'm starting to
Well,
do that now.
I agree. There's like those, I mean, there's these quotes, but it's like, if you resist, you'll persist is one. And another is like, you can't heal if you don't feel it. It's like, these are all like little rhymey ones, but they're great. It's like, there's so much truth to it. So, I mean, that's a lot of like content I consume for sure is about like mental health.
Because I think I think that's like the cliches can be like really helpful. Like grief is such like a big theme in my life, but like grieving like our identities, and like even if it's not something tangible like someone personally dying, but like just things changing, grieving change and all of that, I think is just such a huge theme that like, again, it's, we're all doing this work to, I don't know, feel more aligned with ourselves or more in tune.
Well, you said it was like 2020. It's like your father passed away right before. Like, oh my gosh. So you were dealing with grieving of change, but also well, change in multiple ways, but also like a grieving of someone passing. It's like, that's unfortunate timing. And it's also, it's wild.
I think that's when I started to like actually wake up. Like, it almost kind of felt like I was in the Matrix. Like I was been asleep the whole time. And that's when everything started to like wake me up. And that's when I started going to therapy, just to give you a little background.
I see.
I grew up in a very, very like white town. I was, I don't want to say bullied, but like, you don't want to feel like you're different as a kid. So like comments were made to me about like being different. So like my dad was really that safe, quote unquote, safe place or safe space. And there was a lot of stuff with like my adoptive family, but I just really tried to keep him alive in a weird way, like maybe emotionally, like grappling onto him, holding on to him. And when he got pretty sick and me taking care of him, it started to wake me up with the other stuff going on, like the pandemic hitting and then the racism with like against Asian, just all Eastern Asian people. And then like Wuhan was where the virus was originated. And then I was born in Wuhan, according to my documents. So I think it all just kind of shook me. Like it was like a quote unquote, like ego death where I just like woke up and was like, oh man, like I've been emotionally asleep. I kind of want to figure my stuff out. And I, and then I went to therapy and I found out a lot. I found out number one, I'm not white. I'm Chinese. And I'm like, what?
What?
With the George Floyd thing, too, like Black Lives Matter. I was so invested and I was like advocating and I was out there. And my therapist was like, I think it's just more than you being an ally. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, you're not white. But she said it a lot nicer than that. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, I'm not. It just kind of came to a moment of like, oh my God, I'm also not white.
It's like, it's just what we're familiar with, which I think is a part of it. But there's nothing more to that, unpacking all of the stuff with that too. Like, there's more to this for sure. So I guess with like starting the process too, do you have any thoughts about like China and like going back there?
Yeah. So now I'm working on like, I think just trying to put my pieces together. But the pipeline dream that I have is I think I want to go to either Thailand or Taiwan. So not directly China, but maybe like a little island off of it, so that way I can visit and feel in tune. And then if I want to go back to like Wuhan, like I have easier access, but it doesn't feel like it's all consuming. I think like learning how to take things slowly, for me, I just did the 23andMe. So that's like my first step in all of this, and my DNA results came back and I am 92% Southern Chinese and Taiwanese, and I'm 8% Northern Chinese and Tibetan. So I think it would be really cool to go to Taiwan actually and start there. And my dream would honestly be like find people in this space, in this community, to go with me
mm-hmm.
and build that community and have each other's support and kind of all of us uncover more of our journey together. So that way that connection is there. We're not feeling isolated. We're feeling like we have other people that like can relate through it too.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I was thinking about this yesterday. I was like, I wonder if there's groups for people who are in Asia, for adoptee groups who are like adoptees who are in Asia, and if there are groups that are there that they can be like, hey, I'm an adoptee here and you are also living here and you're adopted. Mm-hmm. Like, let's connect.
I would love that. I think
I wonder.
Honestly, if there's not a little saying that I like to say of like, if there's not that, then you have to just create it yourself. And I think that's what I want to do. I think that's going to be like my niche, I guess, my project to work on is to start maybe connecting all of us, like you and like anyone else that has interest in this, and to be like, hey guys, let's start our own like little like community, like expat community, and just get it together. It doesn't have to be super soon, but just to start thinking about that. We're all still in our 20s and 30s and it's just meeting where we're all at.
Yeah, because I think maybe in China might be more difficult to like facilitate that just because of their standards. I don't know the best
way to say that.
But I think Taiwan and like other areas of Asia, it's probably easier to like form that. I can't imagine. Yeah.
And I heard Taiwan has like a really good expat community already. So then like, if we all like went there and started our own community, and it would be like reaching out to other expats to see, give us advice, but then it'd also be nice because we'd get that extra layer of support of other adoptees going through this. And that way we can go to China and like explore more in China, but not have that, those like restrictions in place.
Yeah. It's like, there's a reason I went to Taiwan and not like mainland China on the way back.
Yeah. The history can get a little dicey there.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I've met a lot of like more of that Taiwanese American community. Actually, with the whole like moving stuff, I ended up moving into a place where the landlord is like Taiwanese. And that's like, so a lot of people in that building, like they're all Taiwanese American or Taiwanese from abroad. So it's like, this is very interesting how like just things work out. You're like, oh well.
It is really interesting. It's kind of cool that like that your paths crossing and stuff too.
And it was like it was definitely like a hustle and like a whole thing of like trying to find somewhere to live, but it ended up being like through a community that's mostly like Chinese American people. Like, it's because of them that they contacted someone else. It was like word of mouth. So I was like, wow, this all is very nice.
Yeah,
communities can help each other.
Yeah.
It's like, yay.
Yeah, I love the community and connection.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I do have a plan of eventually visiting again or going back, but just kind of maybe more from a distance and then like being more touristy in China and then settling in Taiwan for a little bit with the community.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Thank you.
I'll probably insert a break as well, but
yes.
I do love that idea. It's so cool that you voiced that, because it just like crossed my mind. It's like, I wonder if there
oh my god, I would love it if we could like start building it together. Reach out to other CCI people.
Oh yeah, there's so many of us. And like, there's so many of us who want to live abroad. And I don't know if I want to live abroad necessarily. Yes. There's definitely benefits to living abroad, but I was like, I don't know if I could do it. Like, the food is better here. But
I think for me, it's not a long term. I'm gonna live there.
Oh, I see. It would be like
stake my roots in it. I think for me, it's maybe for, and honestly, any of us too, it's like this missing piece of our puzzle that like we get to go and kind of connect with. It's just maybe a temporary living abroad experience, because I think we're young, we get to live abroad, we get to find that community, we get to find ourselves also, we get to experience just living abroad, different culture that can be our own. And then eventually, once we feel like that's another piece of our puzzle, then we can come back to wherever you decide. And for me, it would be probably back to the United States and starting my career as a therapist. But yeah, I think it would be, I don't want to say short term, like a medium term thing.
Yeah.
Like a year. In my mind, I picture like a year-ish.
Yeah, something smaller.
Experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Or maybe a little longer than a year. Who knows? Yeah.
I don't know. A year can be, a lot can happen in a year, but
a lot can happen in a year, for sure.
For sure. It's like a whole change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pittsburgh question.
Okay. I'm ready.
Are you into the teams, the Pittsburgh teams? Are you a big team sports?
I am not. I'm not going to lie. I want to love, and I do, because when anyone's like, oh, the Steelers lost, I'm like, oh, boo. Like, I feel for them, and I love the camaraderie of the connection, but I just don't watch sports. It's never been my thing. But I do like Pittsburgh. I mean, I think it's a cool city. Recently, this is a little kind of off topic, but I got a tattoo of the skyline of Pittsburgh, meaning the skyline.
Oh, cool.
And I feel like that's just kind of like my narrative. It's just like Pittsburgh meets Wuhan, because it's both pieces coming together.
Yeah.
And did you know that they're sister cities? I used to think my dad was just like BSing me and just like trying to, like, I don't know, do his dad thing, make me feel better. But like, they're sister cities. I looked it up one day and I was like, oh my God, this man was not lying. He was telling some truth.
What? Sister cities? In what sense? Like they...
You know, I should probably look more into that. I don't know.
Okay, I was like, wait, what? Sister cities,
but they had some kind of contract or something. Like, yeah, they're like sister cities. So another little fun fact.
Okay, because it's like, I know Pittsburgh is like steel town, right? Like, was Wuhan also a steel town? Or
I don't know. I mean, I feel like
there must be some history.
Yeah, I feel like the history's there, but I wouldn't really know much of it.
That is cool. That's a cool tattoo too, to get the skyline and both like merging or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think just like going back to what I was saying about like kind of being a whitewash experience. Growing up, I was the only Asian kid at my school, maybe one other Asian kid. So I like that I'm like accepting the merging of the two. And then probably like one other kid that was not white, who was a different race. Yeah. So it's really interesting to see that play into effect, because I listen to other people on your podcast and sometimes I almost get embarrassed that like I didn't ever really keep up with any of my culture, but that was also kind of like swept under the rug because Pittsburgh was such a small area. Like the Pittsburgh itself can be diverse, but like the suburbs around
it are that's what very, I understand too.
Very white. So just navigating that, not really having anyone that looked like me on TV, only watching I guess like American shows with mostly white actors and actresses. Having all my friends were white, and then like a little background on like adoption. My mom adopted me with a group. I think adoption's from the heart. Like, I know that we go in groups. So
she
came with a group, and a lot of families like stayed in contact with each other, but we, I guess, just didn't. I was older, and most of them were babies. So my parents lost contact with them because both the babies and the parents were younger than both me and my adoptive parents.
I sense that's kind of what happened also with like my group too, like my mom and our family.
It was just kind of isolating. It was definitely more of an isolating experience. So like in my mind, I didn't even really think about it. Like a few memories I have was being put in speech class because I had an accent and I got made fun of for having an accent. And then when my dad asked if I wanted to continue like keeping up with Mandarin, I told him no. And so it's funny to think that like that's my first language, but I like,
oh yeah,
can't eat, like nothing computes. Like when I was 8, I remember walking into like a restaurant and someone said something to me in Mandarin and I was like, oh no, sorry.
Yeah.
And they're like, really, you didn't keep up with any of it? And I was like, no. Like my parents did their best with the capacity that they had, but they weren't really well aware of kind of how to handle like an interracial adoption. So I think to protect me, they really did try to like be like, get rid of my accent, make sure that like, yeah, kind of like the assimilation. And it, I don't think it comes from a bad place, but it's just like the unknowing, the not ignorance in a rude way, ignorance of just like not having that knowledge on hand.
Yeah, I think that it just comes with like what we know from the society that we grow up into, which is always changing, fortunately. Not always great things coming of it, but yeah, I feel like it's always changing. It's better.
And which is really nice because like now I see all this like Asian American representation on TV and I'm like, at first I like didn't think anything of it, but like now I can understand like why it's so important. To show that, because like even the TV that you grow up with, like I thought the beauty of standard was to look a certain way and that was to be white. And I wanted to have bigger eyes and I wanted to like have different facial features. I didn't like that I was for me petite. I wanted to just have brown or blonde hair.
Yeah, I know. Early 2000s, not that long ago, but it's just like, to think that we've come a long way now seems to be the case, but I'm not really sure.
It's, like, it's nice. It's nice that we can acknowledge that it's not always this fantasy story that everyone makes it out to be, like this fairy tale, like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. Well, like it is incredible. It's kind of like the cliche yin and yang, like it's the light with the dark. Like, yeah, early 2000s wasn't great, but look how far we've come and we look how far we can like have so much more to improve. But like, it's just nice to have that. I guess I think the other thing that I wanted to share was the reason I think that I'm maybe dealt with accepting that I was Chinese in the first place came from how I grew up. My adoptive mom, and I feel like I've seen this a lot too, just in like the social work side of things. A lot of adoptive mothers, I don't know why, tend to be borderline personality disorder. And that is characterized by like they feel like a sense of abandonment, and within themselves they have a hard time having kind of a stable, calm personality. It's very erratic and their behavior is all over the place. So anytime I would get in trouble or anytime she would lose patience with me, it was a lot of like emotional like threatening to send me back to the orphanages, or like using that like as a weapon against me. And that's not anything against her. I know that like the saying hurt people hurt people, like I think for so long I was mad at her, and now like that I've done the work, I can see she's actually just very emotionally young. She's stuck at an emotionally young age, and she wasn't able, she was looking for someone to parent her, so for her to parent me was really challenging,
of course,
because I had my own needs too.
And mother-daughter relationships are just so complicated too.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with like sisters too. I don't understand all sister relationships, but yeah.
Can you remind me, do you have a sister?
I do not, but I've talked to many people who do have like a sister, and it's always just like,
yeah,
so fascinating.
It's, like, huh. It's very complicated. Being a woman, I think, can be complicated too. That's why I like the Barbie movie. I think it did a good job.
Barbie for sure.
Summarizing it.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And then it's like, I was like, I can't imagine dating a woman either. It's like that has to be very involved and complicated too.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of feel for like my boyfriend even having to date me, but
yeah.
Like being dealing with women is complicated. I mean, dealing with men too is actually pretty complicated, so being human is just hard. That's really what it is.
I think it's
that's
just
the moral
like,
of the story.
Being a human is like, we want it to be like 1 + 1 = 2, and we want to be logical, but like it's the both great thing about being a human and like the terrible thing about being human. It's like,
yeah,
we can understand it logically, but our emotions don't match up. We're not like animals. Animals, I think, are at a higher vibration. They're just purely them.
Yeah.
Where I feel like we have, like, we start out in a certain way, and then we get molded by our environment on all these things that happen to us. And it's just like, but it's cool because, like, every human gets their own individual, unique experience, but then we also all go through really similar emotions, and that's what ties us together.
100%. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then there are people who don't work on the emotions and like grow, and it's like, oh, I see. Like, so that exists too. And thus they do things to like not help society and whatnot. And like, that's unfortunate, but I mean, we all have the capability to choose who we surround ourselves with. So it's like, you know, here we go. Some lessons you learn, and it's like, all right, well, I can move forward and like grow from that, which is very nice.
Yes.
I think even like in the time that I've done this podcast, like I feel like if anybody I've asked who's actually listened like from the beginning, they're like, there's been a growth in even in like how you talk or perceive things. And I was like, that's a good sign, I would say.
It's definitely a good sign. I think we're always learning and growing, and like just that the people that aren't doing the work, that's okay. For like, then you just need to realize that, like, I think just meet them with empathy and kindness, but also not over entangling yourself with them, just kind of keeping your own boundaries.
Exactly. Yeah. Boundaries is really the key word.
Yeah.
Boundaries.
Yeah. Cause they can only meet you where they're at. Cause if they're in an emotional capacity of 2, like you can't force them to go to a 5 if they're not ready to go to a 5.
Oh, yeah.
Then you just have to kind of keep your own distance.
Mm-hmm.
Keep yourself safe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so many layers.
Yes.
That's really cool to hear that you would like to work within like social work and like therapy too. I think that's always admirable for people who can do that, because it's speaking of complicated human beings, but then like also helping them and helping people grow. It's like, it's overwhelming.
It can be a lot. And I think that's why learning how to take care of myself is like essential in this work, because with everything else, like teachers, nurses, social work, healthcare, it fosters for quick burnout. So taking time to like reset, recharge, which I'm working on, finding like hobbies that help me do that, creative outlets.
Yeah, I see you have a sewing machine, so I was like, you must do something with that.
Thank you. So fun fact, I also have ADHD, which a newly discovered thing as of late, but I get into hobbies really quickly, and then I'll move on to hobbies really quickly. So actually, the only thing I can sew is crooked pillowcases. So if you want a crooked pillowcase, I will for sure give you that. But I was thinking about picking up some hobbies to find my inner child again, just like find that playfulness. Because for me, like, I didn't really get that fun, playful childhood. It was more serious nature. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of emotional responsibility, like taking care of people around me. So, I would love to learn how to sew. I'm thinking about taking piano classes.
Nice.
Right now, I paint, even though I'm bad at painting, it's kind of goofy. Like, you get to just, like,
yeah, know, like, it's very expressive. It's very expressive.
Yes. Also learning how to rock climb and, yeah, just, like, finding, like, hobbies that, like, ground me. Sometimes I like to go out in the sun and photosynthesize, like, a little plant.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good for all of us. It's like, it's good to, like, get natural sunlight. And
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
yeah. And so, yeah, I feel like I do that with work. It's very hard to, like, do one job. I have many. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah.
You wear many different hats.
Yeah, I work many different jobs, and some of them require commuting and some don't. So it's nice. Mm-hmm. But I think hobby wise, I've stuck to, like, basically running and Dragon Boat, and that's about it. So it's like, this is good. Very athletic.
Is so great, like, for your emotions though, like, anything
it does help
release that.
It does help for sure. Kind of like forces you to process things too, because after a while, like, you're still moving, you have to get back home. It's like, I guess I should, like, keep running.
That's one of my thoughts. Yes,
that, yeah, it's like, I gotta keep running. And that's also where I've, like, found community too, because it's like, I don't work, like, one job where I see the same people, so it's like, this is a community where I tend to see the same people. So that's how I got into that. Yeah.
I love that. I think what's cool about humans is, like, we're kind of like wolves. We're, like, pack oriented. We need those, like,
yeah,
different sets of communities.
True. It's true. Which is not it's a bad cute. Thing. It's not a yeah. bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it keeps growing too. But
yeah. Oh,
yes. So transitioning to the last thought, was there anything you'd like to hear from other adoptees or any who are curious about adoption, Chinese adoptees?
Let me think. I think just, like, their experience and how they emotionally felt with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for me, it wasn't even on my radar. It was just, I ignored it. It was like a closed, like, locked treasure box in a room somewhere that was shut. So I want to know how other people felt about it and how they dealt with it. And I think, just kind of hearing that side and maybe, like, hearing, like, their viewpoint on the bitter and the sweet of their adoption story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The bittersweet and the continual bitter and sweet, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
As we keep changing. I think I'll keep changing, but who knows?
I think so, too. I mean, you can't stay stagnant. That's not.
Right.
Yeah.
We can try to resist it, but no, we can. Yeah, keep growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I say this, and I'll have my first therapy session since my trip soon, so that'll help, too.
Oh. I love therapy.
Oh, I'm a fan. It helps a lot to help regulate and just talk to somebody who can, like, objective, be like, so why do you, I love it because the therapist I have, I think, will call me out, but not in, like, a rude way, but, like, calls you out. I was like, I like this because I feel like I do that in general, is calling people out.
Yeah. I think for me, I feel grateful for being born in this time period where mental health stigma is starting to slowly dissipate, because therapy is great. You get to just, like, feel your feelings.
Feel your feelings.
And then have someone be like, okay, and guide you in a direction that is helpful.
Yeah, of course.
Can you remind me what your Chinese name is?
It is Shen, so that's, like, the surname of the orphanage, and then Zhongqiu, which is genuinely, it's mid-autumn, like, just translates to mid-autumn, because I'm, like, born during, like, the mid-autumn festival technically.
Okay.
Which is something that varies too, but yeah, that's my name.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. My Chinese name, and I'm sorry for everyone else if I'm pronouncing this wrong, not me pronouncing my own name wrong, but it's Xu Jiyang, or is it Xu Jiyang? And I just found this recently, that Shu means kind, Ji means pure, and Yang or Yang means sunlight. So
wow.
I was born March. Well, supposedly I was born March.
Quote, unquote. Yep.
Quote, unquote. So I think it's cool because sunlight, you know, March is like spring. Well, at least that's what I associate, is like spring and starting to come out.
Mm-hmm. Or it stays out later now,
mm-hmm.
which is very nice. And I think, like, I heard an ice cream truck go by and it's like, is that already that time of year?
I know, it's crazy. This is my ADHD brain jumping around, but I was just thinking of the questions you had, saying if I had any other questions. I think the other question I would have is, like, how do other people know their birthdays? How do other adoptees know their birthdays?
Right.
I didn't even realize that until you brought that up on your podcast, being like, oh my gosh, this could have been made up. Like, all this paperwork.
I know.
How does it work?
It's just like, I think for some people, from what I understand, is that sometimes it's based on like their physical health at the time. So being found as like a newborn, I think they had like doctors do an assessment there. But then, of course, like people who have actually connected with like their birth families or a reunion, they find out directly from them. And I think, yeah, a lot of it seems like it's estimates, or like they are able to actually.
Guesstimates.
Yeah, I think it's all guesstimates based on like the physical appearance of the child.
Mm-hmm.
It's my guess. Mine, so supposedly for mine, it was like a note was left with me that was like, this person was born at like this day and time.
Oh wow.
So like I had a note left with me, but again, like I remember when I early on when I was like looking to start like learning about my adoption, I posted in one of the Facebook groups of something about like, okay, so this is a note that was left with me that I found. And then I think an adoptive parent maybe or somebody did say like those are all like fabricated. It could be very much a lie. And it's like, okay, thank you for destroying my spirit just a little bit.
Oh, I think even a parent said that. Like,
it's that's all crazy. Yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, I see what you're saying. There's probably some truth to that, but it's also like
that's really harsh though.
Yeah, I was like, however they said it, it was just like, all right. So then that was in my head for a little bit. And like, you know what? For me, I thought about it. I was like, if it is fabricated, then it's still part of my story because it was given to me. I went back to my orphanage and that's when the director or whatever like presented like the paperwork my parents had already known and seen. And then like that note. I was like, well, even if it is fabricated, it's still part of my story. So that's what I have a tattoo of, is the tracing of that note. I was like,
I love that.
And then people are like, well, you do seem to give off that Virgo energy. Like, I'll take it.
That's what everyone says about like Pisces energy or whatever.
Yeah. I was like, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah. Which like, I think that's kind of true. Like, even if it is fabricated or made up.
Yeah.
It's still a part of my story. Yeah. So like, even if I wasn't born on March 15th exactly, that number still resonates with me.
And exactly.
Like, it sounds weird, and again, I'm spiritual, so I'll look for the signs. Other people, if it doesn't resonate with you, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But when I was reading this book about, it's called The Leavers, I don't know if you've ever read it.
I've heard of it. I've not read it.
It's basically about this boy who it grows up in New York City with his mom, and his mom is Asian, and something happens and she doesn't come back for him, and he doesn't know what happens, and he gets adopted with a white family at like 7, and at the end he's trying to combine both his like quote-unquote white identity, like the name Daniel or whatever, with his like quote-unquote I think he's Chinese identity. But during that story, the first page of it was March 15th, was like one of the significant days in there. And then I picked up another book that was starting to talk about like this author's Asian American experience, and that there was March 15th in that book too.
Ooh, yeah.
And I was like, the first two books that I'm trying to connect with like my own story has March 15th in it. So I'm like, whatever. I think it's a sign.
It's a sign. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's like some symbolism sometimes, sure, for things that happen. You're like, whoa, is it just a coincidence? Is it?
Yeah. But I don't understand like how they would know, like, unless like my birth certificate was left with me, because this notary that I have says that I was born this day and I was left this day, like born March 15th, left May 2nd. But the notary says it signed December 3rd, 2001. So like.
I know, because that's closer, I guess, to when you're adopted. So yeah, I'm not really sure how all this stuff works. You're like,
And like, did you guys just like.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think. Which is a little interesting is sometimes I think, and I know that their intention was to give us a day that quote unquote was more adoptable or made it look more.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like they would do that. So we would be more adoptable to the Americans.
I have heard about this. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, the superstition, I guess, I don't know if it's a superstition, it's the right word, but yeah, there's like the whole, I know exactly
like theory. I think it's like the theory of like, which makes sense because there's such like mass kids that need to be adopted that they're trying their best. They're in survivor mode trying to get these kids adopted. And it's almost like if in a way it kind of can feel a little inhumane because it's like we're all these puppies like trying to like slap like cute little pictures and it's like please adopt me, like I'm like this is me, you know. But it is funny when someone brought up, I know someone else on your podcast brought up like the kitten analogy. I think they were talking about like adopting kittens. I'm like, whoa, my mind was like blown. I was like about that, like that kittens are supposed to stay with their birth family for a certain amount of
time.
And that we're kind of like, I don't know, it's the collective of all of us, this collective healing of all of us being like kittens in a way.
Like, oh, okay.
I looked at my cat yesterday and I was like, oh, you and me, baby, like you got adopted at 3 too, like
there you go,
meant to be.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
It was like nice. Yeah, I do. I was like, pets, us, we're similar with the adoption. But this was great, though.
Thank you.
It was wonderful to be able to like sit down finally and record. I'm glad I, one, remember to check in, and two, that we were able to like talk more.
Yes. Thank you for like providing this platform for people to like, or this safe space, I guess, for people to feel like they can connect.
I'm glad that people feel like comfortable to want to like share and then reach out to each other too if they want to like talk more. Yes. Did you want to share your Instagram or
best way to contact you?
Yeah.
Okay. So my Instagram is Langelone1. So LANGELONE and then just the number 1.
Okay.
And you know, we can contact each other. We can get our little trip started.
If people are thinking about wanting to live abroad or already have, that's the best.
And want to do it again or have any advice.
Yeah. Cause a couple guests ago, Emma was sharing about how they lived in China abroad for like a study, but I think it was like while they were in high school, so they were very young, and I was like, that's wild. So like hearing Emma's perspective on it too, I was like, this is wild to like go through that when you're that young. But yeah, people who want to live abroad or thinking about it, send a message.
Yeah, we can just start talking.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Okay. Well, I hope to like hear more and see more of that develop too. It was great talking with you.
You too.
And I will talk to you soon.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for listening to ABC, Adoptees Born in China podcast. You can reach me at Adoptees Born in China Pod on Instagram and Facebook. Yay.
Yay. Stop.